Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Lot to do coming up here on Evan and Tiki. We're going to celebrate an anniversary of something that happened on this radio show. Today's a very special anniversary for the Evan and Tiki Show. I don't think Tiki knows. I don't think Sean knows.
I have zero idea.
Tommy knows. Tommy and I know. We're the archivists of Evan and Tiki.
And how could you forget this one?
How could you forget
this? This is an all-time Evan and Tiki moment.
This is a Mount Rushmore moment.
I probably didn't forget it. I'm just not associating it with a specific date.
I understand.
Tiki, it's a moment that still has ramifications. I don't think that's...
Careful. Don't give away too much.
Oh, I'm very careful. Huh? Tiki... Don't listen to anything I just said.
Here's what I'll tell you. Coming up at 4:30, we will celebrate this seminal moment in Evan and Tiki.
Are we having cake and ice cream?
There is cake outside, but no, I think the cake was to celebrate like the Mets World Series drought. So I guess we could use the cake for that.
And what? You ate a slice of it, too, like a loser.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did have a slice of it.
No, you did not. See, this is what I mean by
Wait,
you.
Wait, so explain what's happening?
Yeah, what is happening?
Okay, so this week is the anniversary of the last Mets World Series.
Right. Okay.
So we have a caller friend of ours, Taco Frank, that brings in a cake to celebrate.
I saw Taco Frank outside.
Nice guy.
Great guy.
Great guy.
But he's a Yankee fan that hates the Mets.
Okay.
So it's to mock how long the Met drought has been, and he takes a cake to celebrate mocking the Mets.
Oh, so he brought tacos and a cake to mock the Mets.
And the cake, I took a nice picture.
And Evan had both, the tacos and then had a piece of cake?
The tacos are not meant to knock the Mets.
I did not have a taco and a slice cake.
Oh, so you didn't even have the celebration side of it. You just had the mocking side of it.
The mocking, the cake is about making fun of Mets fans. Oh. And Evan went right back there, slabbed himself a slice, and stuck the fork in there.
Evan.
With a Met hoodie on, by the way.
Can you look before you eat?
I don't care that it's mocking the 86 Mets.
Can you ask a question before you slice?
I don't need an answer. Like, you got to understand something, Teague. The 1986 Mets, good and bad, doesn't mean as much to me as many others. Mm. They're a historical note. I wasn't around. Okay, so...
You weren't born?
I was 3 years old. I don't remember.
Oh, you were around? What are you talking about?
I didn't watch
had
it.
You
I
been,
didn't,
oh, had you been to a Mets game yet?
Maybe, but I don't remember.
Definitely. By
Come
three.
On, you I didn't, I didn't watch game. The 86 World Series. I didn't know anything that was going on.
Had
I was
your
three.
Father... Papa Roberts, had he said Mets to you in any capacity that made you go, Mets?
I don't think so.
Yes, he did.
At three? I have no memory
Did you
of
do it.
It
for Jet?
When he was three?
Did Jet know the word Met?
I'm going to think back to 2019. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Probably not. They're very young. Are you even a human when you're three? Like, you just, you're like a thing lying around. So my point to you is, while I appreciate the 86 Mets, and I love my franchise's history, the 86 Mets are the same as the 1905 Giants.
So eating the eating the mocking cake for the Mets to you is just kind of like, no biggie.
Yeah, it's no biggie. Someone gave me cake.
Not someone. Taco Frank, great guy, came in here with a Yankee polo on. He brings this cake every year to mock you. To mock me.
Why does it mock me? I don't even remember 86.
He's mocking us because we have not won in 39 years. And you ate the cake? You ate
Tommy,
the Oni? You
Tommy,
ate the Oni?
Tommy.
What?
Every single team I root for are losers. They've won nothing. So if someone's going to make me a cake to mock the Jets Super Bowl III or the ABA Nets or the Islanders dynasty, I don't care. I'll eat the cake.
Sean,
I didn't experience any of this.
Taco Frank and Sean take pictures with it like it's prom.
I don't care.
You should.
Well,
you shouldn't be eating that cake.
Doesn't mean anything to me.
You're supposed to be one of the leaders of the Met fans here. You wrote the book and you're eating a cake that's literally putting in our face that we have not won in almost 40
Why
years.
Why would that bother me? Like, the 86 championship is something that's cool in Met history. Like, celebrating it and their anniversary
that's
isn't
not
like...
the point of the cake, though.
I don't care. I ate the cake and it tasted fun and I have no remorse. Zero. I don't care.
Just because you have a sweet tooth? You couldn't have had something else.
Not even a sweet tooth.
He brought plenty of stuff. But these little things with the icing in them. It was great. Little balls of icing. Why don't you have one of those? You had the cake that mocked all of us as Mets fans.
I just want to know. If Sidney Sweeney came here and took a top off and it said 1986 Mets on it, are you leaving your wife for it?
Ask Tommy.
I'd eat the cake off. Yes, of course. But come on.
That's all you need to know.
Ate the Oni.
Anyhow, coming up at 4:30, we'll honor a seminal moment in Evan and Tiki history. But I do want to play something for you. Woody Johnson, of course, last week made those comments about Justin Fields. Got a lot of attention.
Yes.
Justin Fields balled out, played a great game for the Jets, and then was very emotional after the game talking about everything he went through. Do you remember Jordan Travis?
I kind of forgot about him, but he was hurt.
Yes. He never played for the Jets.
Devastating college injury.
Drafted anyways.
Kind of just hung around. Maybe he'll be a project.
Yep.
And then he just disappeared.
And then he retired.
Oh, that's right. He did retire.
Yeah.
That's right. I remember that now.
Then he decided to retire. So Jordan Travis was on a podcast the other day and shared his recollection of uncomfortable comments from owner Woody Johnson.
I gotta tell you, I mean, that, no disrespect, but there was things that were said to me, not obviously to that point because I never got on the field to play, but about my leg, like just slick comments that I don't think he was, I don't know if he was trying to be slick about it or you know how some older people, they just kind of say whatever comes to their mind. And it kind of made me feel a certain type of way. I told you about a few of them. Are you ever going to get healthy? And I'm just like, damn, not how you, like how you feel and never that. There was always like comments like that. And that kind of upset me, but it kind of rolled over my,
well, now
over
it makes
my
sense.
Head. It makes sense.
How about that?
No.
I mean, slick comments.
Well, some people are like that.
Are you ever going to get healthy?
Yeah, like you feel like you have a relationship with them and you can joke with them and be like, you ever going to get healthy? It depends. Again, how he said it matters. If it's, kid, you ever going to get healthy? And it's like dour, then you're taking offense to it. But he's like, hey, how you doing? You ever going to get healthy? It's different. It's, now, I don't know how that was delivered.
Context matters.
Context matters.
The reason I'd lean towards it being horrific is that he probably didn't have a relationship with
no
him.
Doubt about it. Justin Fields doesn't have a relationship with the owner after being paid $20 million for a year for the next 2 years, then I doubt that Travis did.
So it was probably Woody's only interaction with him, and he's probably like, hey, you ever going to get healthy? Mm. And the reason why that should rub him the wrong way is that, remember this about Jordan Travis, he was hurt before the Jets drafted him.
Yeah.
So the New York Jets made a decision to draft an injured player,
right?
Knowing,
but it was late.
Yeah, you know, absolutely, right. It was a late pick, but they drafted him while injured, so they knew the risks going in. Like it was always a possibility,
right,
that Jordan Travis would never play. It was always a possibility, and I think what I get from that story by Travis, and even what he said publicly about Justin Fields, is something I originally thought about Woody. He is your typical awkward older guy. It's just awkward.
Right.
I don't think it's malicious, to your point. I don't think it was vicious, like, when are you going to get healthy, you bum? I don't even think what he said about Justin Fields is malicious. It just comes out in a very awkward way. And so I can see Justin Fields obviously taking it badly, as he should, and Jordan Travis taking it
badly. Or Justin Fields could do what you're supposed to do when someone, let's call them close, because of the ownership relationship, says something critical about you. You respond.
You respond.
Instead of moaning and trying to get social or media clicks associated to your response, you just don't say jack and just go play great.
And that's what he did.
That's what you should do.
Major credit to Justin Fields.
Now, too many of these kids want to respond nowadays.
Now, speaking of responses, so we had played about a half hour ago Dexter Lawrence's response to Carl Banks, and in his response he brought up, watch the tape. because that is in relation to Carl saying, hey, you're not being respected because you're not being double teamed as much. To which I said, listen, I don't watch the tape. Can you do us some research, Tiki, and tell us if Dexter is seeing a lot of double teams?
Mm-hmm.
So we found out through the data from last year, he was double teamed about 75% of the time. That was the numbers you saw, Sean, right? Yeah. 75%
yes.
of the time? So, Tiki, you went through the tape,
mm-hmm.
and we have a result on how often Sexy Dexy is seeing double teams.
Yeah. So I went through the Eagles and a little bit of the Denver game. And so it's probably, I'm just guessing because I didn't actually do the math. I started.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The details behind the Diddy indictment, Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Doing the math and it got too busy in my head. I think it was close to like 65 to 68%. That he saw double teams. Now, some of those were helping doubles. So it's a pass situation. The offensive center in this case or guard takes him, but he has help in case there's trouble. You know, if Dexter beats the guy to the inside or to the side of that help, that offensive lineman who's unoccupied will come back and help him. That's technically a double team, even though it's not body on, it's not two hands or four hands on Dexter Lawrence. So I'm going to say it was about 68%, which tells me that what Carl was saying is more about what his production is showing, not about the respect. I think the respect thing is wrong.
Because he is seeing that same amount of respect.
He's seeing a pretty good amount of it.
It may not be as high as last year, but it's still pretty high.
It's still very high.
So in a lot of ways, Dexter's right.
But he's also not being productive like he was over the last two seasons.
That we can tell without watching tape.
Right.
Like sometimes things are basic. Like you watch the Giants and you know that Dexter Lawrence is not having that same kind of havoc that he's had in years past.
But I think teams still respect him.
Because he is still seeing a great amount of double teams.
The only time you don't is when Shane Bowen schemes it so they can't.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so there's always somebody helping unless, or at least there potentially to help, whether it's a running back releasing through the middle or an unoccupied guard. The only time you don't see that when he's one-on-one is when you get that mug look with one of those linebackers standing over the center. And so you have to block man on man.
Are you going to get annoyed, Sean, that every time the Giants are on defense, I'm going to scream out loud like I'm the quarterback? Number 56 is the mic. He's the mic. He's the mic. I'm going to be screaming to you, Dexter's seeing a double, Sean. Nope. One guy. Is that going to annoy you?
Can you just do me a favor? These are my people that we're going to be with Sunday. Like my people.
Mm.
Don't embarrass me.
I'm a loser.
Is that embarrassing?
Every time with you with a pencil and
a
clipboard.
That could be embarrassing.
I'm a loser.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
they might throw you off.
Yeah. I know you have season tickets, but like on this side, it's not your house. It's my house. Give me a little respect.
Wow. Well, it isn't my house. It's a Giant game. I mean, it's my house, but it's not my house.
Yeah, like it's my house.
Yeah, that whole thing with the stadium sharing thing makes it strange. Like, it's really not my house.
Like, it's not. I will do plenty to embarrass us two at this game.
Yeah.
You don't have to.
Don't abuse my ticket relationship and get Sean banned.
Yeah.
Had a very good seat for the game.
We don't. But yes, thank you.
First of all, we do have a good seat
they
for the game.
Good
We're
seats.
Sitting 50-yard line upstairs. How is that not a good seat?
Because you got to climb.
What do you mean you have to climb? That's a good thing. It's a football game. You need height.
You got to walk up those stairs. At my age, my fame that's risen.
You're barely 40, dude.
Exactly.
You're not even 40.
Hey, look, going upstairs, that's something you do in your 20s. You know, I got to do that now with you.
You know what's crazy? And Tiki just said it, that it's his ticket relationship. He's right. I went to Tiki and said, look, I'm in a weird spot. Tiki said what? I said, I want to go to the Giant game. I'm not looking for freebies, but I know where I want to sit.
I had a very good seat for the game.
So is there someone you could put me in relation to where they can just tell me, yes, this seat is available? And Tiki's like, of course, I know you. I'm Tiki freaking Barber. So I said, I want to sit upstairs, 50-yard line, as close to the first row as possible. And that's what we basically pulled off. So we're sitting exactly where I detailed it for the reasons that it's the best place to watch a football game. I'm not going there to tailgate. I'm not going there to meet people. I'm going there to watch a football game. I don't know why you're going there.
Sean, you're going to be drunk anyway, so it's not going
to
matter.
That's fair. I mean, I don't know. Last year I sat, I watched 30-3 loss to the Eagles in a suite. It was great. I had sushi, great sight lines. It was awesome.
Yeah, but you're going to watch the game. Are we not going to see the game, the football game?
No, I know. I just got to bring binoculars.
That's ridiculous.
No, you don't.
So far back.
Dude, it's the old 22s.
It's the same seat on level almost that the broadcast booths are on. It's actually a great spot.
Thank you, Tig.
I had a very good seat for the game.
Trying to ruffle Evan up here.
You're just trying to be a little bitch. That's all.
I don't have to try. I am a little bitch.
I mean, clearly. Like, literally, I said, this is the seat I want in the stadium. They were able to accommodate me, and your response is, it's too high.
How close is the bathroom?
Very close.
All right, that's good. That matters.
Dude, it's literally a section over from my season tickets. As soon as you go back, the bathroom is right there.
All right, because I'm a two-minute warning, minute left in each quarter guy.
That's fine. That's fine. I got to go to the bathroom, too. I'm just saying, this is the best. If you are a real football fan, which I assumed you were, this is the best seat to watch a game. If you're there to hobnob, fine. Go somewhere else.
I had a very good seat for the game.
Hobnob?
Yeah, hobnob.
Look, row 39, 50-yard line, first level, beautiful.
It's not row 39. Okay. I told you, it's close to first row.
All right,
let's get to your calls.
Just in the third deck.
Yeah, it's just the third deck, that's all. Let's go to Mike in New Britain, Connecticut. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. First time, long time.
I appreciate you, Mike.
Tiki, thanks for all the great years.
I appreciate you, dude.
Got it. So just on point something out on the Giants game that you guys were talking about, the whistle, the inadvertent whistle.
Right, early.
Was blown during
the early
field
one.
Goal.
Right.
So I know you're watching tape right now, Tiki. If you go back and watch that play again, that whistle happens when the ball is in the air.
Yes.
So unless the sound of the whistle, you know, blew the ball off its course, then it made no difference.
Right. And Mike, in real time, that's what I thought. When I heard it watching the game with Schmelk, I heard the whistle, but it was well after the ball was in the air.
Believe it or not, and do not kill me for saying this, it doesn't matter.
I know.
It still should have been blown dead. Like, I totally get it because it was.
The question is, where did the whistle come from?
I don't know that
because
part.
It didn't. I think if it was inadvertent by one of the referees, they would have owned up to it.
Right.
And said, you know what? You're right. We have to redo this. It probably was a whistle from the stands.
Well, that's the case. Then I don't think you really should do anything about it because then a fan can interfere essentially and give the Eagles a re-kick.
Yes.
But if that whistle came from an official, even if it was after the ball is in the air, it should not matter.
Look, if it came from an official, I think they would have gotten to the bottom of that. One of them would have.
By the way, the officials.
It's impossible to inadvertently blow your whistle because the whistle is not like around your neck.
Isn't it in your mouth?
Like your gym teacher, and you have it in your mouth, and you're just chewing on it. Like, yeah, let's go. Oh, I accidentally blew the whistle. That's not what the whistle is on their hand. It's on their finger.
What?
Yes, they hold the whistle is on your hand, and when you blow it, you pull it up and blow it.
I thought it was like in your mouth the entire time.
No.
I'm loving it.
And you just blow, and then it happens.
That's the shut up, Sean. That is the gym teacher whistle.
That's what I thought.
That's not what the NFL officials have.
Many, many years ago when I was in elementary school, I was such a horrible athlete.
They made you the referee?
Yes.
Joking.
Yes.
I was joking.
And this was not an official activity, so I had like five friends, and they would want to play two-on-two football every single... I forget all their names. I wish I had their names. I'd give them a shout-out all these years later. And they would play two-on-two football.
Were they good?
No, they weren't bad. Yeah. Like, they were fine. And because I was friends with them, the kid would say, you're the referee. And I would have my whistle and I'd referee. And the best part about refereeing, Tegan, I'm literally 9 years old. I'm really young.
Yeah.
I didn't even know the rules.
Nerd alert!
Like, it's not as if, because I think I said this to you off air the other day. Football was the last sport I really started to understand.
Yeah, we were talking about this with Jet because it was the last one that he's getting into. But it's because the rules are really complicated.
100%. I'm noticing this with my kids because I'm giving them and showing them football. I took Jet to a Jet game recently. I'm going to take Spence, actually, in a couple of weeks. That'll be fun. And I've realized that their interest in football is limited.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's because it's complicated.
Yeah.
Like, Jet loves baseball. Spence loves basketball. And I think it's because it's just so easy to understand what's happening.
Boo Mets!
Boo Mets! Give me dollars!
Yeah, he's going to a Jet game in a couple weeks. That is going to be...
Have you alerted the Jets so they give him the heads up that he's coming?
To give him dollars?
No, just that he's a handful. In a great way, though. He's a lot of fun.
Boy, you're something over there.
Wow. You don't think that he was... Oh, come on. He basically was... I won't get any further in it, but I mean...
No, keep talking. You're doing low right now.
I mean, upper management came to me and they said, boy, that's Spence Roberts, man. He was a handful. They basically, he's Bart Simpson. His picture's up on the wall.
Yeah, leave him in the newsroom?
Yeah.
Spence Roberts has been banned for 1 year from WFA.
1 year? 1 year. No suit for you. 1 year.
He's got to be older. Because he showed up. It was a summer show and it was a brief show. Tiki was not even here. It was like the end of the summer, Yankee Day game, and I figured, it'll be easy. He took over the show. Started screaming, started running around.
Boo Mess!
He was jumping around again on TV. Meanwhile, he's the quiet one.
Really?
Yeah, he doesn't talk very much. But as soon as he came to WFAN, it was
a performer.
He became a performer.
He's a showman.
He's a showman. Our good buddy Ozzy in Woodridge. What's up, Oz?
Hey, Oz. What's up, dude?
My money would be on Peloton Sean being able to do more stairs to get to the seat. Than Evan, who hasn't exercised since he got hit by that cab driver on his bike.
How do you think I get to those seats in the 300 level? I walk up. I'd race, Sean, when we get there. That's a fun one. We race from the bottom of MetLife to our seat, and we'll see who wins.
You want to race
machines?
Yeah, and that'll be fun. That's good digital content. Right, Ozzy?
Yeah, Sean, you got this. Spence did more exercise that day in the studio in front of the camera than Evan has in like 5 years.
He's fat! All right, we get it, Ozzy. Mm. Thanks. Appreciate it.
You're starting to look like the Jabba the Hutt of freaking radio. Oh, you just sit there. Wow. Like,
wow. I saw a belly.
Hey, I'm just starting to trash talk because Evan and Sean, I'll see you on the hardwood in the Barclays tonight.
Oh, it's game night. Nets, Hawks in Brooklyn, baby. What up?
Nobody cares about the Nets and the Hawks, okay?
Wait,
one
going,
win between
going,
them.
Ozzie? You're going?
Ozzie's no,
not
I'm not going.
Going.
You surprised me for
Believe
a second.
It or not, it's a hot ticket. I sold my season tickets. I actually made a profit. Like, people wanted to see Nets Hawks tonight, so I don't know what the hell's going on.
Trae Young?
Yeah, now let's end the timer. Let's talk about the relevant basketball team around here. You know, I mean, the fans are already starting their infighting about who they would keep and who's their favorite and who they get rid of. No biggie on the New York Chuckerbockers last two games.
No biggie.
They're going to be fine, bro.
No biggie.
Tommy, they're still on track for Tommy Ells, and I'm not talking about Flugauer. You're still on track for your Knicks in 26. No Don't biggie. Worry about it. I want to, amend that a little bit. Add an extra rhyme and an extra alliteration for you. Rick's Knicks in 26 is more like it, but you got destroyed in that debate, Lugash debate yesterday.
Well, I was sandbagged. I was completely caught off guard. It was obviously at the hands of the leader of the coalition, Evan Roberts, and he has people that do bidding for him, Kendrick and Suffren, Sean Marash. It's Evan pulling the strings, so I didn't see it coming. I don't think I got destroyed, but whatever. I think it was a total setup.
I thought
But I took it. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, Tiki did vote for me.
I think they missed the biggest smoking gun against you on your little JV filler show on Monday.
Yeah, the Lugauer. Thank you. 6:30 here on at night.
Your filler show, just to get in between the real talent and
got it.
McPherson.
Yeah, I'm Keith McPherson's warm up act. I've heard it all. What do you got, Ozzy? All the jokes you write on a napkin. Okay, let's get to the real punchline.
To quote yourself, your exact words when it came to Nick being the Chuckerbockers. Now you said yourself, I don't want to use the word Chuck because that's derogatory and offensive.
Right.
So you knew right away that when you were doing it to the Celtics last year, you should be doing it to the Chuckerbockers this year.
No, I shouldn't. Mm-hmm. And you know what, Ozzie? I'm glad you called, and I'm glad we had that little experiment yesterday, that little social experiment, because the coalition of Knick haters are popping the champagne 4 games into the season, and that's music to my ears. It's a long season, as my buddy Positive Aaron Boone says. So you know what? Have your little fun. This is your Super Bowl that the Knicks are a 500 team. They're 2-2 to start the season. Have your fun now. We'll see who's laughing last at the end of the season.
I think you're changing the discourse. It wasn't about them winning or losing. It was that they're chucking a lot of threes.
Oh, by the way, I didn't pay off the answer for how much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood.
What is the answer?
A woodchuck could chuck all the wood that a woodchuck could chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood.
Jeez, I didn't know that.
That was very impressive.
Wow.
Very impressive.
I can only do that hammered.
Yeah, you're missing the discourse, Tommy. It isn't about the Knicks being good or not.
I'm not missing any discourse.
You called the Celtics a derogatory term last year. You said they were the Chuckers.
The Boston Chuckers.
And now the Knicks, who have attempted at least 43s in all 4 games, something they never did last year, they're chucking.
And they're losing.
And they're losing. Well, but even the losing, I wouldn't even mention. It's just they're chucking, and now it's okay when last year you kind of mocked it.
Yes.
So it's tough to kind of...
No, it's really not tough to kind of figure out. I'm a Knick fan. It's really not that tough to figure out.
Oh, so you're a shill. Okay.
I'm not a shill. Oh, no, you're right. I should dress like a leprechaun and walk around and be a Boston Celtic fan during the playoffs.
Who did that?
No, well, I don't know.
Well, Gio did that after they beat the Nets.
Of course. But my point is that
I... Why are you picking on Gio?
I'm not picking on Giannotti. You pick on him by bringing that up. I'm saying, should I have dressed like a leprechaun when the Knicks played the Celtics last year? No. I should go after the team that we hate, the Boston Celtics, the city we hate. So that's what I did. And now when my team's doing it, you're damn right I turn a blind eye to it. I'm not going to call them the New York Chuckers. I'm all for it.
Chuckerbockers.
It's really not that hard to figure out.
Chuckerbockers.
Chuckerbockers. Yeah. Get it right. You got to get the name right. They're the Chuckerbockers.
Right.
We'll celebrate a seminal moment in Evan and Tiki history coming up in a few minutes. Plus more of your calls at 888-808-1019. Get you set for an interesting sports night, which includes a huge Game 5 of a tied-up 2-2 World Series. Toll-free number is 888-808-1019. It's Evan and Tiki on the Fan. We have been on the air since, I guess it was July of 2023, so a little bit less than 2.5 years. And I would say that the anniversary we are celebrating today may be one of the great moments in Evan and Tiki history. And before we flash back and honor this moment in Evan and Tiki history, I'll ask you, Tiki Barber, do you have any idea on the moment we're about to celebrate?
I do not.
Do you think
clueless.
You're completely clueless?
Unless it's Bad Tiki.
It is not Bad Tiki.
Where's Bad Tiki?
Bad Tiki's in prison.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Now, we have a mayoral election in less than a week. Maybe that'll change things.
Nice.
I have no idea. Do you think this moment revolves around me? Do you think the moment revolves around Sean? Mm. Do you think the moment revolves around you, Tommy? Like, who do you think the moment revolves around?
It's probably Sean.
Think it's Sean.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, 1 year ago today, my dear partner Tiki Barber went on one of the great rants in FAN history. Tommy Lou Gower was saying something to you.
We were talking ball.
They were talking ball.
Is this tanking?
Ladies and gentlemen, here it is. A WFAN flashback of what is now infamously referred to as the rookie rant.
Why is our number one overall? And I love Malik Nabers. Why is he dropping passes every single
week? Because he's a rookie. Do you need anything else? He's a rookie.
I mean, he's dropping a lot of key passes.
I hate rookies. There's been one rookie in the history of my playing career that I loved, Jeremy Shockey, because he got it. He was
really?
A dog from jump. Rookies suck because they don't get it. I don't think Malik Nabers is one of these guys that's just happy to be there. But a lot of guys are just happy to be, hey, I'm here, I'm in the NFL, man. I'm going to be a superstar. Dude, you don't know the work that it takes to be a superstar. You can't quit on plays, Deontay Banks. You can't drop passes, Malik Nabers. You got to run routes. The first game of the season, go back and listen to it. Find it on the Odyssey app. I got on Malik Nabers because he was lazy running his routes, and Daniel Jones is waiting for him to come out of his break, and he's not even at the break point yet. Right? Rookies are lazy and stupid because they don't understand what it takes to be a professional. I've called Anthony Richardson too many times to even think about. He got benched today. You know why? Because he's immature and doesn't know how to be a pro. Right? Rookies are dumb. They don't understand. Some of them get it, but a lot of them don't.
Oh, that was amazing. I'm standing ovation.
Rookies are dumb.
And the foreshadowing to include Daniel Jones and Anthony Richardson in the same rant.
Rookies are lazy and stupid. Rookies suck. I hate rookies.
Now, I think it just...
By the way, this was at Yankee Stadium, one of those 6.5-hour shows we were doing. 5.5-hour shows.
This is, and I think that's part of the backstory here. So I want to take everyone into that day, October 29th, 2024. It was a Tuesday. It was in the midst of three consecutive World Series shows at Yankee Stadium, 5.5 hours. But this one followed a Giants Monday night game.
That's right.
Okay? So the Giants played on Monday night. The Yankees are down 3-0. Tommy started saying dumb things, which we love you, Tommy, but sometimes you do.
Do you need anything else?
Tommy also wasn't with us face-to-face either.
That's true. He was back at the shop.
Which
that's right.
Added to it, which is why when Tiki says anything else, it's really demeaning.
Yeah. Anything else?
Shut your mic off.
And so I think the 5.5 hours, we're doing long shows at Yankee Stadium. I think Tiki, like a lot of us, were on a little bit more of an edge. A little more of an edge that day. And the right button was pushed. So I want to congratulate not just Tiki Barber, but Tommy Lugauer. To me, Mount Rushmore moment of Evan and Tiki.
I loved it.
Thank you for pushing the button, Tommy.
All time. That's why I'm here.
No biggie.
And that sparked the Yankees to their only World Series win last year.
That's true.
I thought it was your song.
Yeah, the seance. That also happened on the show that day. That was a real jam-packed show. It had two famous moments. The rookie rant, and Sean had a 3-0 seance to try to wake the Yankee ghosts.
We were on for 8 hours, so I hope it would be jam-packed.
We had a lot of things going on that day. And here we are a year later. The Dodgers are still in the World Series.
Of course.
And the Yankees aren't.
Yeah, Anthony Volpe not hitting a grand slam tonight.
Not quite. Let's get back to your calls. 888-808-1019, the number. Andrew's in Sterling, New Jersey. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, Andrew.
Hey guys, how you doing today?
All's good.
Listen, love the show, love the station. One thing I want to do say before I get to my point is that I appreciate the amazing work ethic that you guys have. I don't know how you have the energy to do these shows every day for 4 hours, and then Lugauer to continue for another hour or two or more.
That's a very nice compliment, but hold on. I don't want to demean what we do because we all work very hard.
Yes.
We are not digging ditches.
That's
all right? There are plenty of New Yorkers and New Jerseyers who are doing things that are probably more important than what we're doing.
New Jersey
and
ends.
What did I say?
New Jersey ends.
New Jerseyers or ends. So we appreciate the kind words, but we thank everyone. How about everyone who's in sanitation?
Right.
Thank you. The police department, the fire department, the teachers out there. God bless all of you. Anyhow, get back to complimenting us.
Listen, my dad was a Suffolk County cop for 25 years. So, the effort that you guys put into these shows every day is incredible.
That's very nice.
The seats, right?
Yes.
350-yard line. I am a diehard Jet fan. God bless me. That's my go-to, right? They're reasonably priced,
right?
And you can actually see the play unfold so well from that seat that it's a good seat.
Because
Andrew, you're
smart about this. Sean is not. I'm very disappointed.
Sean wants to be close.
But yeah, because
it makes him feel important.
But you miss more.
No, but the air is so thin up there. Tiki was talking about Denver. We're basically climbing up to Denver.
But you
breathe up there.
Your view of the game is significantly better than any other seat in the house.
You got the all 22. It's like Evan seats at Barclays as well. You got the all 10.
Yeah, the all 10. But it's true.
Which is great.
And I would argue, as someone who likes to sit upstairs at these sporting events, in football, it's even better to be upstairs. Because the lower down you are, the less you actually see. And what I'm convinced of, because Sean is, he doesn't portray it, but he's very bougie. When he goes to games, he's in suites, he's sitting lower level, all that kind of crap.
I had a very good seat for the game.
By the way, that's my fault. I'm sorry, Sean.
It is your fault, partially.
Stop working with DA, I work with Tiki. I'm a changed man.
Once you sit in the 300s, and I'll reveal the section on Friday because Sean really wants to sign autographs during the game, you will have a come-to-Jesus moment where you'll say, Evan, this is the best seat to watch a football game.
Can it just be a good view without you calling it the best seat?
It is a good view.
Yeah, that's
you're
all.
You're going to like the view.
And by the way, I know I like the
you're
view.
You're going to admit it's the best view
and
to watch
gonna
a football game.
It's going to be a little chilly, so the sun in your grill is going to be awesome.
Exactly. It's on the sunside. Good call, Teague. It's on the sunside.
Sunny side up.
Sunny side up, which in September is not good, but in early November when it's 48 degrees outside, it's perfect.
Great view for Kyle Shanahan outside zone runs. Can't wait.
Had a very good seat for the game.
Ron's in Jersey City. What's up, Ron?
Hey, what's up, Evan, Tiki? This is the headbanger.
Oh, nice.
But I want to ask two questions before Evan hangs up, and then you can answer them after, please.
Look at you laying down the rules. I like it.
No, I'm not laying down rules.
Yeah, you are.
Well, I'm asking, not laying it down.
All right, go ahead.
All right. Now, Evan, this is a Met question.
Right.
Even though it's in the past and everything like that, it's irrelevant.
Go ahead.
But if Steve Cohen had owned the Mets when
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ohei Ohtani had came out. Do you think he would have went after him? Ooh. And Tiki.
Good question.
If and when Dable gets fired, do you think that Frank Reich would be a good coach for them?
Frank Reich! How about that? Mm. Boomer would love that.
I like Frank, but I think he's not going to have the patience. So what plagued Frank in Carolina was that he wanted to win right away. He felt this urgency to win, and they had just drafted Bryce Young, and it just felt like his quarterback couldn't live up to what he wanted, and it just all completely fell apart.
Right.
So the thing I would worry about is that same mentality, I can win right now, would take over, and the development of Jackson Dart gets undercut in some capacity.
But those two things may line up. I mean, if Jackson Dart has a good rookie season and has that experience, you got a healthy Malik Nabers next year in theory. The Giants are probably going to go into next year with win-now expectations.
Frank Reich is the exact example of what we've talked about with Adam Gase and with Rex Ryan. When you get fired the way you get fired, take a year.
Yeah.
Don't immediately go right back into a head coaching situation. That's what he did. He got fired by the Colts, and I don't even know if it probably was early February. He gets hired by the Carolina Panthers. And so, like, reflection on what it went wrong never happened for him. And I don't think he didn't make it through half the season, did he?
No, got fired after 11 games, 1-10.
Right.
But you're right. Like, he went immediately from coaching Indianapolis rather successfully this time there.
Right.
To an absolute disaster in Carolina.
So maybe he's reflected. It's been, what, 2 years now?
Yeah, 23 was the year. So it's two full seasons removed from coaching.
And I don't know what he's doing now. Was he consulting? I feel like he got into that.
No. He's coaching for 1 year at Stanford as an intern for Andrew Luck.
That's right. Was that last year or this year?
I think it's this year.
So, yeah, that's weird, though.
That's a weird
3-5 right now coaching Stanford.
Yeah, they
Stanford.
They got blown out by Miami last weekend.
It's an interesting name, though. I mean, because it's a guy with experience. Yeah. He's an older-ish guy in his mid-60s. Mm-hmm. But
has been a good coach.
Yeah.
Like, he would have success.
Wouldn't be the worst hire.
No.
The Ohtani question, remember this about Shohei Ohtani. When he entered Major League Baseball in 2018, it was very similar to Roki Sasaki in that you couldn't offer him a great amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
So Ohtani was literally picking where he wanted to play baseball.
Right.
And it became very obvious very quickly. He had no interest in being in New York. That's why we went into that offseason. Everyone expected him to be a New York Yankee. It was like, foregone conclusion. He's going to be a Yankee.
That's when everybody thought the Yankees were still the evil empire.
Right, but he didn't go to the Dodgers. He went to the Angels.
I know, but I'm just saying, everybody thought he was going to the Yankees because the Yankees will spend anything to get the best player in baseball.
And money had nothing to do with it because it was a non-money negotiation. And I remember Ohtani, like early on, eliminating East Coast teams.
Yeah.
And it became obvious he wanted to be on the West Coast. So if you go back to the very beginning of the show, we were talking about Giannis. And I made a comment that some thought was sarcastic. It's not. That one of the reasons Giannis wants to play in New York are the airports, because it has direct flights to Athens, Greece. I'm not joking. It's true. And I think in Ohtani's case, and a lot of Japanese ballplayers, they want to be on the West Coast because flying home is a lot easier.
Right.
So Steve Cohen could have owned the team. It didn't matter who was going to own the team.
Right.
Like, his preference was to be on the West Coast. Why he picked the Angels and not the Dodgers or the Padres or the Giants, I don't know that part. I do know, though, that the Mets never had a shot. They never had a shot. So whether it was Jeff Wilpon or Steve Cohen, it wouldn't have mattered. Even in this recent free agency, in which I was screaming on the air with you, you got to make an offer, you got to get in the room, he's worth every penny, you got to throw it at him. Ohtani had so little interest in playing on the East Coast that Steve Cohen never even got in a room.
Right. Did he? And didn't the Yankees go out there?
When the initial one.
Right.
Yeah, they were heavily recruiting him back in 17 to 18.
Right.
And you know who they got instead of Ohtani once they failed on Ohtani?
Who?
Giancarlo Stanton.
Huh.
That was the pivot.
Interesting.
And it's amazing to think about what Ohtani has become. Because last night was fascinating. Last night was the first time I scored an Ohtani game in which he's pitching and he's hitting. Because honestly, he hasn't done it that much.
Right.
I mean, one of the fair critiques on Ohtani as this all-world player we've never seen before is how often has he done that? And I thought, like, the pitching, he was brilliant.
Right.
And don't give me his final line. I heard Sal say that earlier today. I love Sal. He's dead wrong. If you watch the game, for six innings, he was utterly brilliant.
Yeah,
he gave up two runs.
Right, he made one mistake.
But
he
even...
He hung a slider or whatever it was.
To Vlad?
To Vlad.
But forget that. That's a mistake. Vlad beat him, whatever.
Yeah.
He pitched six dominant innings. Dave Roberts, my great cousin, for whatever reason, at 90 pitches, decided to let him start the seventh inning. I was sitting there in front of my TV saying, this is a bad move.
Well, at least you got to the point, because some people are saying Dave should have left him in.
Well, they're idiots.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know what to tell you. They're so wrong.
I agree with you.
He was done.
He was absolutely done.
And by the way,
don't forget, he played an 18-inning game the night before.
It's that, which is a great point, which is unlike... It's impossible to calculate that because we've never seen a player do it.
And he craves sleep. What is it, 12, 14 hours he wants?
But even beyond that,
he got that.
He is not a guy throwing 110 pitches. It hasn't happened.
Well,
so to ask him to do that now in the seventh inning of a World Series was crazy.
Well,
he should have been out of that game.
I think I don't know if I realized it until they said it on the broadcast. Because when he came out for the seventh inning and he threw the first pitch, he said, now Shohei Ohtani, for the first time this season, has thrown a pitch in the seventh inning.
That's right.
I was like, what?
Do you know how many times during the regular season he even threw six innings?
No.
Once.
Once?
Once.
Wow. Like, and it was only a quarter of the season?
Yeah, he only made 14 starts. And remember, a lot of those were single innings.
So
and they slowly built him up. How many times has he thrown over 90 pitches during the regular season? Again, the answer is once. So the idea that Ohtani was allowed to start the seventh inning was absolute lunacy.
But I get why Dave Roberts did that, to be honest with you. His bullpen was taxed.
That's fine.
From last night.
Then don't judge Ohtani's performance as six innings, four runs. That's my point. Because those two runs he gave up, he shouldn't have been in the game.
Well, you're talking to Sal. I'm talking about from a Dave Roberts standpoint.
I know. I felt bad because I saw Sal earlier and I totally forgot to bitch at him about this. Because I hate that opinion. I think he's wrong.
I think Dave Roberts was doing what was necessary. And if it cost him the game, it's okay. It's a race to three now.
Okay, fair enough.
I think that was Dave
Roberts'
mentality.
If that's the attitude, my only argument is I knew sitting there, the idea of him starting the seventh inning was incredibly dumb. He puts the first two guys on base, then he comes out, and those two runs score. So to look at his pitching line at six innings, four runs, I don't think is indicative of the way the man pitched. Oh, no, the man pitched great.
Right, you say that if you didn't watch it, and you didn't pay attention to it. I think the ultimate reality for Dave Roberts is that there was no way his bullpen was getting him, at least he didn't think, nine outs. No, they didn't.
Right.
Not at least nine
good outs.
Good outs, right. I was trying to think, I was thinking how to phrase it. He knew it. And so he was basically praying to the altar of Shohei, be miraculous somehow. It just didn't happen because he's not ready for that. He's not prepared for that.
There is one other thing that really pisses me off, okay? And I am clearly not an Ohtani fan. Tommy and I had that fun argument during the season. He's not the best player in baseball till he pitches, all that. He's pitching now, and I got to get something off my chest. I love Babe Ruth, okay? Yeah. I think Babe Ruth is the greatest baseball player who ever played the sport, okay? I'm going to make that clear. And the reason I think Babe Ruth is the greatest player to ever play the sport is that he was so much better than everyone else in baseball at that time.
Yes.
It is not his fault that those players weren't as good, and it's not his fault that Judge Kennesaw Mountain Landis was the worst commissioner of all time and was an incredible racist that kept the sport segregated. That is not Babe Ruth's fault. And to hold that against him is unfair to what Babe Ruth accomplished. So understand how I think of Babe Ruth. Now that I got that off my chest, it is insulting to Shohei Ohtani to even compare him to Babe Ruth.
Yeah,
and let me tell you why.
People keep doing it.
Babe Ruth did not do both. I want to make this clear. He didn't do both. He was a great pitcher for the Boston Red Sox. Great pitcher. In fact, he had the record at the time of most consecutive scoreless innings in the postseason, the World Series. He's a great pitcher. And then, for about a year and a half, and it's probably less than that, I'm being generous, he did sort of do both. He never did both in the World Series. Never. Okay, when he pitched in the World Series, he pitched. He hit because that's what pitchers did. They hit. He did not play another position in those other games.
Right.
He just pitched and was 1-for-10 as a hitter because he was a pitcher who happened to be hitting. We just need to get our facts straight. I love Babe Ruth. He's amazing. He's great. He's fantastic. Stop comparing Ohtani to Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth never did what Ohtani did. And I'm complimenting Ohtani.
Right.
Because last night, Ohtani pitched and he hit. The game before that, he hit.
Oh, he didn't hit well last night.
It doesn't matter. He did it.
He walked.
Ruth didn't do that. It is a misnomer. It is not true. It is a lie. Babe Ruth was a great pitcher who eventually transitioned into just a full-time outfielder. He did not do both in the postseason. Did not. And he barely did both over the course of a regular season. Ohtani has already blown him away in terms of doing both. That doesn't mean I'm saying Ohtani's a better hitter. Never said that. I'm not saying Ohtani was even a better pitcher, because he wasn't. I'm saying in terms of the amazingness of doing both, Ruth didn't do both.
Right.
So there I am being fair, defending the honor of Shohei Ohtani.
Well done.
I feel better.
And well said.
And I bet you most people didn't know that.
Well, I mean, if you pay attention, you know that.
Well, we think of Ruth for doing, he hit me, pitched. He really didn't. I'll tell you one thing Babe Ruth did do that Ohtani could never do. Are you ready for this?
What's that?
14-inning complete game in a World Series game.
Batters were much less effective.
But don't do that.
Am I wrong?
It's irrelevant. It's not that you're wrong. It's irrelevant.
It's relative.
The only way to compare athletes, I think. Look, BT said this to me during the crossover. He said, you know, I was saying if Babe Ruth, you know, just plopped down today, he'd go 0-for-5 with 5 strikeouts. Fine. Okay, that's fine.
Right.
But that's not, I think, a fair way to compare an athlete. It's to say, how is he against his peers? Babe Ruth was a lot better than his peers. He had more home runs than teams.
Yeah.
No one does that. So that, to me, is a fair way to determine the greatness of Babe Ruth. Holding against him that the athletes weren't as great, or holding against him.
That's not his fault.
Yeah, right. That's completely unfair. Holding against them that we didn't have players from outside the United States, or we had segregation, which is one of the biggest embarrassments in American history. Like, there are plenty of people to blame for that. You can't blame Babe Ruth for that. Like, that's what I always get, like, confused by. Like, why? It's Babe Ruth's fault? Babe Ruth is the one who did that? So when we talk about him, we just need to be fair. With that said, Ruth ain't Ohtani. I'm impressed.
Ohtani's special.
He's
special.
And we're never going to see it again.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that right now.
And his curveball feels so old school because it has that, like, lift and then drop to it.
Yeah.
It's just fun to watch him pitch. Meanwhile, it's fun to watch him do everything.
It's not fun. I hate him.
Of course you do.
I'm just kidding.
It is fun to watch people you hate sometimes.
Yeah, no.
Especially when they're great.
That's true. Here's my vision. This is my dream. Because I'm going to geek out right now as a baseball fan. So we have game five of the World Series tonight. The series is tied 2-2. If you're not into it now, you're never going to get into it, okay? I want a game seven. Game sevens are very unique. They're very special. They don't happen often. The last time we had a game seven of the World Series was 2019. So it's been a long time.
Yep.
That's a while from now. I want game seven on Saturday night. And not only do I want game seven of the World Series on Saturday night, I want to see if Dave Roberts have the balls to go to Shohei Ohtani. To try to close the game out
as
in the bottom of the ninth inning.
Not tonight.
No, game seven.
Game seven.
Can't beat tonight. He pitched last night.
Right.
But at game seven, he will have, at that point, a couple of days of rest. Mm. In fact, he'll have 3 days of rest. Mm. All you're asking for is a couple of outs.
I can see that.
Dude,
if that happens and he transitions into one of the most dominant closers in the history of the game, that's going to be your fault for putting it into the ether.
Oh, that I put it in the ether?
Because now he becomes, obviously, a great hitter and MVP consistently. And then, like Dennis Eckersley, one of the great closers in the history of the game, that's on you, Evan.
Well, I don't know if it'll ever be a full-time thing, but I will go this far.
Why not? It's actually suited better to what he could potentially. You'd obviously need another closer for whatever.
Well, you run into the rule problem that he comes to pitch, and then if you take him out, he can't just simply go back and DH.
Yeah, but at that point, it doesn't matter.
Well, if the game continues, it matters, because then Ohtani's out of the game.
Yeah.
That's why I suggest using him as the closer. Like, if I'm the Dodgers on Saturday night, if we get to a game seven, I can't use him in the fifth inning, because once I take him out of the game, he either is
that's
out.
That's what I mean. I'm talking closer.
No, that's how they have to use him.
Yeah, of course.
And I'd argue. And there are some great moments in World Series history. When I go back over 100 years ago, Walter Johnson came out of the bullpen in Game 7. Sorry to bore you with that, Tommy. Mm. If Shohei Ohtani comes out of the bullpen for a Game 7 of the World Series in a close game, we're looking at maybe the greatest moment in baseball history. Mm. Like, we could be circling to something so rare. Like, there are very few moments in my lifetime as a baseball fan that I put on that short list as these are some of the greatest moments in baseball history. I would put Yankees Diamondbacks Game 7, Cubs Indians Game 7 from 16. There's a few. The Cardinals Rangers series from 11. Like, there's a short list. If you get Ohtani coming out of the bullpen in a Game 7, oh my God.
Will you then be ready next week to have the conversation that Ohtani is the greatest of all time?
Greatest of all time?
Greatest baseball player of all time.
I can't
which
do
I
that.
Assume is Barry Bonds for you, or the greatest one you've ever seen.
The greatest one I've ever seen?
Bonds.
Tommy, I want to be fair to your question. I don't want to throw it away. It's a very complicated question that I'll address when this series is over. I don't want to engage in this yet. I got to think about this.
So you're ready to, but you're at least ready and willing to have a conversation next week.
I mean, the answer is probably going to be no, because I think you need to do a hell of a lot more.
Right.
But I understand I understand your point. He is clearly doing something that we have never seen before. Now that we've addressed that Babe Ruth never did this, now that we can just kind of put that away, Babe Ruth never did this. We are in this world of, wow, he is doing something we've never seen before. And so that does warrant a greater discussion on his all-time legacy.
Well, he's also doing it at the highest of levels, too. It's not like he's doing it for the Pirates on a bad baseball team. He's doing it at Game 7 of the World Series on the biggest stages, which matters.
I get you. Of course it does. I
mean, and the pressure of a country watching you, like L.A., all the people overseas, like that's a lot, dude.
Yeah. Are you making your argument now? Like I told you, we'll talk about it
in a few weeks. I'm just planting the seeds because I have some follow-ups, too, if you don't think he is the greatest.
I don't think he's the greatest of all time?
Yeah, we have to set up a Luke Roberts debate series.
Ooh.
Because I think he's the greatest of all time.
So Tommy's going to argue a guy that pitches like Carlos Rodon in the playoffs and has one good playoff game every seven is the greatest of all time. Got it. Okay.
I mean, you're not in this conversation or the argument, but you're giving Evan ammo. But I don't even think Evan's going to go down that route. But I look forward to having it.
When we have this debate, just so I know, am I just saying people I've seen? Or is it of all time? Because you know me, I'm a historian.
Yeah, I think it has to be of all time, not even just the people you've seen of all time.
Okay.
Because I think it's unfair for those people not to be mentioned.
Of all time, and I just said this at the beginning when talking about Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth is the greatest of all time. All I was prefacing is that he never did what Ohtani did. Like, Babe Ruth pitched at a very high level. He didn't do both at the same time. But in terms of being so much better than your peers, to me, it's almost going to be impossible knock Babe Ruth off that list because he also saved the sport. The sport was dead after the Black Sox scandal, and him, specifically him, hitting the sheer amount of home runs he hit in the mid to late 20s with the New York Yankees saved the sport. Mm-hmm. And so if you want to have a closer argument, if I'm just giving you advice, make it best I've ever seen. Because if it's of all time, it's impossible to beat Babe Ruth. It really is, especially with what I'm laying out. So make it the best I've ever seen, and I think we'll have a fun discussion.
Okay. I want to make my case now, but I'll make it.
Not now. I told you not now.
I know.
We got time. We got a long winter. We got a lot of time.
Write this in for a Wednesday show coming up in late November.
You got it. I've already written it down. It's a done deal.
4:30.
You guys see Sidney Sweeney eating his hot dog last night?
I've seen it. It's my background on my phone. I had to bump my wife's picture out of there. You know, I mean, come on. You get a month, that's enough.
She snapped.
Our anniversary was a month.
Guys, anything more or are you good?
We can go to break.
All right.
Do we have to?
Sean's got a Cinco de 5-0 coming up.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.